ninth commandment last week, verse 16 of Exodus chapter 20, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Again, this many seem to think that this is limited to the legal system. Certainly, that is included, as we saw last week, but it's not limited to that by any means, and we see that by the very wording of the command. We, as we have with all the commands, want to look at the prohibitions of the command. We saw last week that it's a command that concerns our neighbor. Once again, taking it beyond the legal system. It's our neighbor, whether known or unknown, whether friend or foe, whether good or bad. We see our neighbor is basically our fellow man. So we are not to bear false witness against our fellow man. The very wording shows, again, with the word against, that to break this command is an act of opposition to our neighbor. It's that which would be adverse or contrary or detrimental to our neighbor, to our neighbor's character. The act referred to, again, is to bear false witness. To bear, again, this is by way of review, to bear is to convey or to give birth to. It's not just that we're not to speak that which is false concerning another. We're not to give birth to others doing it also. So it's much further. It goes, the scope is much broader than just speaking. It's giving birth to. Now the word false, of course, false witness, would have to do with views and testimonies expressed that are not according to truth or fact. Whether we mean anything by it or not really doesn't matter here. If we express views or testimony concerning another that's not according to truth or fact, whether we did it on purpose or not, it's still bearing false witness against another. So it is testimony based upon that which is incorrect. It can be based upon assumptions, whatever. But it's testimony based upon that which just is not so. That's false witness. And that it is that act, of course, that is directly prohibited in the command. We saw last week that to bear false witness is unrighteous, Exodus 23 and verse 1. It's evil, Deuteronomy 19, verses 16 through 20. It's an act of deceit. It is, if it's deliberately done, it is an act of deceit. We see that in Proverbs chapter 12 and Proverbs chapter 24. It is a lie. See that also in Proverbs chapter 14. It has its origin with Satan. Has its origin with Satan. And therefore it bears the character of Satan. So this is no light matter. Notice in John chapter 8, John chapter 8, verse 44. Ye of your father, the devil. Jesus is speaking to those who have said they believe, but obviously were lost. Ye of your father, the devil. Because of that, the lust of your father ye will do. Then he tells us the character of the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth. The reason he did not abide in the truth, we see because. Again, everything we do, every act we perform, there's a reason. There's an inward reason. Because there is no truth in him. The reason he lies, the reason he did not stay in the truth, is because there's no truth in him. It's because of his character. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar, and he is the father of it. That is, he gives birth to lies. He gives birth to lies. He is the father of it. False witness bearing is a form of lying. And it is the devil who gives birth to lies. So this is an act of Satan. It is to do what Satan does. In Revelation chapter 12, Revelation chapter 12, again, concerning the person of Satan, in Revelation 12, verse 10, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down. He is the accuser of the brethren, which accused them before our God day and night. Satan is a liar. Satan is an accuser, and he uses lies to make his accusations. So from all of this, we see that to bear false witness is hateful to God. Notice in Proverbs chapter 6, Proverbs chapter 6, we know that all sin is hateful to God. I believe that God's hatred, of course, is a perfect hatred. But there are certain sins that God mentions specifically that are hateful to him. That does not diminish the fact that all sin is hateful to God. But there's something to be said, there's something to be gleaned when God mentions specific sins that he hates. And in Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19, he mentions some of these sins. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look. God hates it. Absolutely hates it. A lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief. Notice a false witness that speaketh lies. And then that which is an abomination, him that soweth discord among the brethren. Now, there is a definite connection in all of these things. But God, it is specifically said that God hates the bearing of false witness. Absolutely hates it. He closes the list by referring to the one who sows discord among the brethren. And one way that people do that is by bearing false witness. It's one of many ways, but it's one way. Bearing false witness. Now, God hates it, and it will be punished. In Proverbs 19, in verse 9, a false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall perish. Just like in our list, the one who speaks lies and false witness, he separates the two. Though when you bear false witness, you also lie. But you can lie without bearing false witness. So this false witness, those who do so, will be punished. It is a sin that is hurtful. It is a sin that is very destructive. Notice in Proverbs chapter 25, verse 18, a man that beareth false witness against his neighbor is a maul, a hammer. It's like a sledgehammer, which can do much damage. He is a maul, and a sword, and a sharp arrow. So the individual who bears false witness is a very hurtful individual. It's an individual who causes much destruction. And it can be hurt and destruction that is never recovered from. There are people who have heard things about individuals that aren't true. They tell their children tell their children, it goes on forever. It never stops. And the hurt and the destruction is almost unimaginable. It shows again the seriousness of the matter. And again, the seriousness of the matter is seen by our list there in Proverbs chapter 6. It's connected with a proud look. It's connected with a lying tongue. It's connected with hands that shed innocent blood, hearts that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that shed innocent blood. It's connected with those who sow discord among the brethren. So just by the list that it is in shows the seriousness of the matter. So to bear false witness against our neighbor is a manifestation. Just like all sin, all sinful acts are a manifestation of something inward. But to bear false witness against thy neighbor is a manifestation of the wickedness and the maliciousness of the human heart. In Matthew chapter 15, Matthew chapter 15 and verse 19, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. He makes a list here. Evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts. All horrible things. Things that none of us want to be identified with. But the next thing he mentions is false witness. It's in that list. It's in the same list with murders and adulterers and fornicators, false witness, blasphemies. Now, Jesus, of course, is teaching a lesson. The Pharisees thought it was just a horrible thing to drink out of an unwashed cup. And Jesus is telling them what truly defiles a man. These are the things which defile a man. To eat with one unwashed hands defileth not a man. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 59. Matthew 26, verse 59. Now the chief priests and elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death. Again, we see there in Matthew 15 that false witness comes as a manifestation of an evil heart. It proceeds from an evil heart. How evil is it to seek false witness in order to put one to death or in order to destroy? How wicked is that? Well, we see this is exactly what they did. They sought false witness. And we see that God hates it because of the evil, because of the damage that it can do. And the Bible, of course, teaches us of the evil and the damage that the tongue can cause, not just in false witness bearing, but in many ways. In Proverbs chapter 18, Proverbs 18, verse 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. So we see both bad and good from one extreme to the other, death and life. That's two extremes. And they're both in the power of the tongue. The tongue that speaks evil is said to be, has a razor. Notice in Psalm 52, Psalm 52 in verse 2, thy tongue deviseth mischiefs. That speaks of evil, to devise mischiefs, to plan them. Like a sharp razor worketh deceitfully. It's also compared to a sword. In Psalm 64 and verse 3, thus I will bless thee. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong psalm there. Psalm 64. Who wet their tongue like a sword, and bend their bows to shoot their arrows, even bitter words. So there the tongue is said to be like a sword, and like a bow that shoots arrows. That is, bitter words are like that bow that shoots arrows. And it's compared to an arrow. Notice in Jeremiah 9. Jeremiah chapter 9. Verse 8. Jeremiah 9, verse 8. Their tongue is as an arrow shot out. He goes on to describe this tongue. It speaketh deceit. One speaketh peaceably to his neighbor with his mouth, but in heart he layeth his weight. It's also said to be fire and poison. Notice in James chapter 3, James chapter 3, verses 6 and verse 8. James 3, verses 6 and verse 8. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire of hell. That is, that's where it comes from. Hell itself, which again shows that it's characteristic of Satan. Verse 8, but the tongue can no man tame. It's an unruly evil. What we want to notice, full of deadly poison. This is true of the tongue that bears, all of these things are true of the tongue that bears false witness. There are many ways in which we can be guilty of bearing false witness, all of which are condemned in the Word of God. And we will, starting next week, look at some of those ways in which we can bear false witness. But however it is that we become guilty of bearing false witness against another individual, that is, we've said something about somebody that is not so, and it is something that leaves a bad impression in the minds of others who are not going to keep it to themselves. How do you know that? Because that's human nature. People will say, just between you and I. Yeah. How well does that work? And then the next person says, just between you and I. And on it goes. And the false witness is repeated over and over and over again. So if we bear false witness, however we do it, and perhaps later we find out that what we said of that individual is not true, what do we need to do? Well, we need to go to the Lord and ask for forgiveness, but I believe we need to go further than that. We also need to go to each person that we told that untruth to and say, by the way, what I told you, it's not so. Now that puts a responsibility on them. Now they're to go tell everybody they've told the same thing. What we said of so-and-so isn't true. And that's how it should go on. But of course, the first link of that is hardly ever done, let alone the rest. And you know good and well that everyone who has borne or has taken part in that false witness bearing, that all through the line, that all of them are not going to go back and say, by the way, what I said was false. That's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. If you think that's going to happen, you live in a fairyland. That's not going to happen. Again, it'll be an amazing thing if one person does it, let alone 500 or however many that have been involved. So you see, because that will not happen, the harm and the destruction has been done concerning someone's character. So we must be very, very careful. Must be very careful what we say about others. And again, we'll look next week at the many, many ways in which we can, or which we do, bear false witness. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we again thank you, Lord, for your word. Again, we thank you for your commandments. We know, Lord, that they're there for our own benefit. They're there for our neighbor's benefit. They're there for the good of society. And we just pray, Lord, that you would cause us to see the benefit of each of thy commandments. And we pray, Lord, that you would cause us to strive to keep your commandments. Cause us, Lord, to know ourselves. We just pray, Lord, that you'd be with us today as we worship you, that you would come and meet with us in a special way. Lord, that you would reveal yourself to each one of us. We pray for the lost, that you would speak to their hearts, that you would show them their sinful condition, save their undeserving soul today. Lord, we just pray that you'd be with your people as they meet all over the world today. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.